Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. What kind of takeoff? Hey, hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been moved. You were hating on the low. I've been moved. They were hating on the low. I've been moved. He was hating on the low. I've been moved. Hating on the low, I been new, I been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake, but it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Whole scratching, they messy, bitches be broke and be petty. Hate on the low and it show cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. 19 have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. No, 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 can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I flip it for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been moved. You were hating on the low. I've been moved. They were hating on the low. I've been moved. He was hating on the low. I've been moved. She was hating on the low.
I say one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two time for the two time, cause they fake now. Three time for the three time, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight. You need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new. That they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window. But I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up. And you still broke my feet up. Got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, on fresh stop.
What? Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been moved. You were hating on the low. I've been moved. They were hating on the low. I've been moved. Hating on the low, I've been moved. She was hating on the low.
Yo, 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 what's happening, world? Welcome back to another episode of Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Benz. What it do, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? Ready for another Sunday fun day, so you already know how we do. Roll something up, light something up, pour something up, come kick it with your people.
Man, I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's shout out the top five countries tuning in over the world right now. A little change.
Yeah. A little change we see. So we're going to take it from the bottom to the top, right? So number five, we got Puerto Rico. Big shout out to Puerto Rico, you know what I'm saying? Number four, this is a new one. It's been a long time that they have been on the top five. But big shout out to India. You know, big shout out to Bombay. You know, India, you know, giving us some burn, man. So that's always good. Number three, we got the land down under, the continent, not the country, the continent, known as Australia. Big shout out to the Outbacks. Number two, I love to see it, You know what I'm saying? Zulu Nation, South Africa, big shout out to Johannesburg and whatnot. And number one, we got the home team, the United States of America. So big shout out to all 50 states, all the fly cities. Keep listening, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Log on and listen.
For shizzle. Oh, love to hear, love to hear. So how was your week?
Yes, so my week, you know, I'm calling this week Handling Business. You know what I'm saying? It's the holiday season, a.k.a. the winter solstice. So I'm just, like I said, a lot of people like kind of in wind down mode or whatever. I'm turning up. You know what I'm saying? Why people turning down, I'm turning up. So, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? Was it shorter days, longer nights? You know what I'm saying? I'm with the vibes. My new year actually starts now. You know what I'm saying? I know everybody is getting in gear for January 1st and everybody putting a, what do you call it, New Year's resolutions and all that. Mine is now. I'm hitting it a couple of weeks earlier, you know, 3 weeks earlier. So I'm just in that zone. I'm ready for 2023, and I'm just going to hit the ground running. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's my week. You know, well also, too, big shout-out to the interior decorating. That's got back on point. A couple other things, you know what I'm saying, reworking some things. But, yeah, man, 2023 is going to be a good one. You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking that into existence, manifesting. So that's it. That was my week. How was your week?
Man, my week, first of all, was hilarious. Shout out to Smooth. My week is laid back, really, you know, trying to wind out the rest of this year. Ready for 2023, winding out, you know, getting some things together. I've been on a mission when it comes to, you know, my regimen, my eating regimen. So it's really been to cook everything, like not eat out. And I went to the doctor the other day, and they were like, oh, you're 10 pounds down. I'm like, okay, that's what's up, you know. It's really easy for me to lose weight, and I already know it because I my blood type. And I'm not too far off from eating how I'm supposed to. I just eat out when I don't have time. So it's easy for me to be like, I don't have the time and choose to eat out when I can just really sit down and make the time to cook. So that's what I've been on, cooking and focusing on health. As you can see, we are lockless now. I love it.
I do. I love it for you. I like it.
I love it. Spiritual direction. I didn't know how it was going to look. I knew it had to be done. I didn't know how it was going to look when it got done, but, oh, my God, I love it. And I'm like, this is a whole
too,
look,
right?
That I've never had in my life.
Yeah, you feel lighter, too, right? Like, it's a vibe.
Yeah, I find myself rubbing my head all the time. And no, I'm sure. Like, oh, this is why me and B just sitting there rubbing their head. Okay, okay, now I get it now. You know, like, I've never, ever...
had my hair cut this low
in my life.
Yeah, you should keep it for a minute, man. That looks good on me. I like it.
I really am. I don't plan on moving away from this. So it's like this or locks. Either way, you know, my locks, that was 3 years. So my hair grows extremely fast. That was 3 years of locks. Like, and my hair was down my back, and I only had the top. It's not hard for me to grow it out, but I'm actually in love with, like, this short look right now. I don't know. And so what I decided is because my nails were about 2 years plus, a little over 2 years of growing. As, you know, people know I have long nails. Those were my actual natural nails. And so I was like, well, if I'm starting over, I'm going to start all the way over, right? So I cut my nails. I'm in the process of cutting them. It takes some time. I didn't want to go into the nail salon because I'm still coughing, and I didn't want them to look at me like crazy, okay? So I didn't go, so I decided to take them off myself, so it just takes some time. But I should have them all off this week. But, yeah, I'm just going back to the bare minimum on my nails, my hair. I'm kind of happy with the nails because I get to put my lashes back on. Excuse me. My nails were so long that it started complicating me from putting my nails on. I'm like, I'm not going to poke myself in the eye. And then I'm wearing glasses, too, now. I ain't wearing my contacts. I feel like I was going to poke myself in the eye trying to put them on. So I can put my lashes back on. I'm embracing the new look. Whenever I step outside, more people acknowledge, like, you know what I'm saying, me. So I'm like, oh, okay, people love this look. You know, I never knew what it was. I've never, ever, ever been this bald-headed in my life. So
yeah.
That's a good thing. Starting, you know, doing more spiritual stuff. You know, a couple changes coming in. When they finally happen, I'll share it with you guys, kind of let you guys know how I feel about that. But I know when we first started this radio show, like 5 years ago, right? 5.5 years ago, when we first started this radio show, man, like, my oldest son was at home, and middle son, I didn't even have the baby yet. I actually was pregnant with the baby, like, around the beginning part of Mo coming in. Like, I had got pregnant at that time. And so my oldest son is coming back home, so I don't know, you know. I'm going to wait and see how that goes. But, you know, you have to have a talk with them, and especially our people, man. You know, we look and we don't connect with our children enough, right?
Oh, you should, yeah.
And I told him, my oldest son is 21. And then I was telling him, I'm like, you know, yo, it's hard out there. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy. So keep in mind that it's not easy out there. You can come home with your mom. I don't care. It's just respect. You know, lead by example for your brothers and have respect and, you know, respect the household. Whatever you want to do outside of the household, as long as it doesn't pour back into this household, have at it, right? But I would rather my baby come home than to be out there feeling like he got a struggle and he don't, you know what I'm saying, find a way. And before he was like, yes, it's not all that, but, you know, I don't want to come home. I don't want to come home. So for him to be like, I'm ready to come home, you know,
wow. Okay.
It's like, you know, life is lifing, okay? Life is lifing. Right. So, you know, my kids, I'd never, like, be like, none of my kids can come back home. Like, that has to be in a standing. I don't care, you know, who I'm with. You know, when you have children, that's a lifelong attachment. You know, it's not, okay, when they get grown, they on their own. You know what I'm saying? Like, just even if your parents did do that to you, we got to be there for our kids to the end of time, right? You have to make that space. And I always had space, you know what I'm saying? I've always had space no matter what, however we had to figure it out. So we're doing that. We're doing that this month. I got to go get his passport because if he's coming, then, you know, he finna hit it and hold it with me, you know, and his brother. So that's something I got to work on as soon as he get back here getting his passport to be able to get gone, right? Get gone. Yeah, so we did that. 4 channels on YouTube. You know, I've been working on 3, you know, still dropping something on the 1 for me and Smooth. Me and Smooth, we've been, you know, it's a holiday season, so it's kind of tight with us getting our schedule. And then today, we were supposed to sit down and record some episodes. And it was so hilarious because Smooth is Smooth. And so he wasn't feeling well because of something that he did. And I didn't know I didn't know that he was scared, like, on the phone. I just felt like, you know, he called it to talk for me to talk him through whatever he did. You know, so I'm, like, nonchalant with it. Like, all right, bro, you know.
Oh, shit. It was, you like, this is serious.
Keep repeating himself, like, I'm sad. I did this. So I'm just like, okay, you know, calm down. You know, you still here. So then I'm like, okay, let me get more into this because he keep repeating himself. So then I go online and I'm like, okay, boom. You know, here go 2 articles. You know, I went, you know, we use DuckDuckGo or Firefox, right? When you want to look at some stuff, you know, we do go away from Google. So I go and I find 2 articles and I'm like, boom, I know you got some of this stuff in your house. You know, yada, yada. So he's moving around. You know, he's reading the article. He's moving around, and he's doing what he need to do. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then, you know, you got to do this. So I'm sending him products to go buy. And so eventually, about an hour later, right, because I'm just talking to him, right? Like, this fool is tripping.
the product he gave you to buy wasn't a good thing. So I don't know, vice versa. I don't know how to. I don't know. If
No. So here we go. Now his intentions and his heart was in the right place because the product he gave me was, you know, working for somebody else. But he did not know about my iodine allergen. You know what I'm saying? So the part that's for me is I have to find a way to put some type of substitute. But I have an iodine allergen where that shellfish, anything from the sea, I can't ingest it, right? But again, you know, my spiritual guides, you know, my is Yemaja. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and Olokun is very prevalent in my life. So I can't eat nothing from the water, the sea or the lake. So he wasn't aware of that, but he know that, you know, he know, and anybody around me know that I'm into the holistic and health thing, and this is why, you know, he reached out to me. So I'm like, okay, boom, boom, boom. So we just start talking about some general stuff in reference to the juicing, and I'm like, well, you know, boom, try this, you know, don't mix your vegetables with your fruit, you know what I'm saying, start off slow. You know, you're new to it. And so about an hour in, he goes, whew, okay, I'm better now. I was like, so this whole time you sitting here scared, trying to get me to talk you through what the hell you done did. It was hilarious. I was like, man, you is crazy. I've never seen Smooth on any type of version of panic mode ever in the, we've been friends since 2010, so this is for 12 years. I've never, ever seen him on the verge of panic like I have today. And so I'm calm, but when it hit me, like, okay, this is serious. Like,
oh, shit. I'm looking forward to y'all.
Bro. I'm like, okay, I'm better now. I'm like, now you act like you want to get off the phone. Like, I don't know where you were at if you was to pass out. You was just out of there, buddy. It's like, he was out of there, so we got to have a good laugh. But, you know, just him slowing down, and he working on some things with his health, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we got him through it. So we worked through it and got back on point, you know. It was amazing. We got a good laugh at the end of it, you know, on that. So, yeah, we got a laugh at the end because it was all his fault, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when it's your fault, you can play. I didn't crack on him too tough. I'm going to wait. I'm going to say those jokes for another day. You got to get out of the clear first. You got to let something happen. You know, when something serious happens, you be like, wow, yeah. And then after that, it's like the running joke for like a year. Yeah, that's where we at with it. I'm going to tear them up, too. You already know it. Like, it brings me back to this little story real quick. When I was a kid, and my brother, my oldest brother, he used to watch, like, army movies and MacGyver and all of these things, right?
MacGyver,
like sci-fi. He was just that type of person. And so one day my aunt went to pay a light bill. She left all the kids in the car, her kids, my mama's kids. So my sister in the car, she done turned on the music. You know, back in the day, you got to turn the ignition backwards, turn the music on, listen to the music. So we in there listening to the music, and my auntie was like, "That's an auntie." And so she jumped up there, and she just turned the key forward. She never turned the music down. So when my auntie got in the car, she turned the car on and put it in gear. And, you know, like back in the day, the radio used to take a second to come in. You know what I'm saying? So when the music came in, it came in super loud, and it scared her, so she went over the parking stump, right? So she like, oh, shit, I done went over the parking stump. So she had to come back over. We riding down the road now. And I'm not by the door. I'm like next to my brother, which I think he's by the door. And so we start hearing this bloop, 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 bloop. So me, all I know is my brother watching these, you know, crazy TV shows and people jumping out of cars. I'm like, the car finna blow up. Jump out. So I leaned over and opened up the door. Monty said, if you don't sit your motherfucking ass down and shut that damn door, why y'all let her open up the door? And then she's like, you better stop watching them TV shows in front of your sister. You better not never. So that's the running joke. Like, the car about to blow up. Jump out. It was the tire. The tire went flat. But I was just accustomed to that. So I
feel you. We all did situations like that. But not like that. I didn't do nothing with the rolling car, but I remember.
Next week when Smooth call in, then I'm gonna have all the jokes in the world. So that's needless to say, I'm gonna have all the jokes in the world. Whenever he call back in, because I know he go back and listen to the shows, I'm really gonna be a whole dummy about it. But and then I can tell you what happened, because you know I'd rather do it when he on the phone. So
But that's funny your story, because I was one of those kids that, you know, I would have like my big wheel or whatever, but you know, and I used to watch Duke the Hazzard, MacGyver, all that shit too, Knight Rider. So I was one of those kids like coming down the hill. Like, I'm about to crash into the what do you call that? Where you keep your cars, and what is that called again? Why am I going? The garage, right? Yeah, right before I'm about to crash into the garage, I hop off. You know what I'm saying? Like I used to do shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And like do a quick.
They don't know nothing about Kit. Knight Rider and Kit, like that was my brother's favorite show, and you and my brother up around the same age, but they don't. Yeah. These kids will never know nothing about Knight Rider, man. They would never.
Exactly.
They would never know.
Duke the Hazzard is my shit.
They would never know. Yeah. So yeah, that's been my week, man. Just getting ready, man. I'm ready to end this month. Honestly, that's just like next month is birthday month. Our birthday is next month. You know, we're exactly 2 weeks apart from each other. So whatever day my birthday fall on, whatever day his birthday fall on is the day that my birthday fall on. You know what I'm saying? Exactly 2 weeks out. So this month here is just grind and getting right, because, you know, we do it big for the little birthday. But you know what I'm saying, doing what we're doing. So I'm trying to just focus right now, like just focus and get out of this month. The kids are about to be out of school till the top of next year. And January is just, for me, Januarys are normally just a month that I chill, because I already know how much money going to be spent in the month of January. So I don't go crazy. I don't put too much emphasis. You know, my year actually, like, starts in February. So I got to act an ass. For January. So, yeah, that's my week. So tonight we got a spiritual topic. And tonight's spiritual topic, so if you guys are new to the channel, the first Sunday of every month, we have a spiritual conversation. The last Sunday of the month, we have the world-famous chop-up. The world-famous chop-up consists of just stories, you know what I'm saying, just news, you know, things that are happening. And then the shows in between, we talk about whatever. You never know what the hell we're going to be talking about. It's going to be real talk, you know that, right?
So
tonight we're talking about how to find the right spiritual guide on your journey. It's important, man. It's important. So, it's so many people out here that is seeking enlightenment, right? That's trying to figure out, like, they're trying to get answers to what they believe in, and they're trying to get answers to what other people believe in, right? And so, you know, in hindsight, most people, they go and they follow whoever somebody else is following, or they get up under somebody that know more than them. That doesn't necessarily mean that's supposed to be your spirit guide, right? I was having a conversation with my yeye today, and so I'm the type of person that I've been through a lot on my journey, my destiny. So I've never been a crowd type person. I never went towards the crowd. I actually went to the opposite. So if everybody liked this person, I would go to somebody else, right? Because it's like me being an empath, me being a highly sensitive empath. One, you're taking on way too many people energy for me, and two, and being a highly sensitive empath and you know, being in tune with all these people, I know you just not as balanced as you need to be. So on your journey, you're going to meet a lot of people. You know, you're going to learn a lot, right? So your spiritual journey is like spirit will put people The Most High will put people in your life for you to learn what you need to learn at that time. And then once you learn that, you have to let go. So when you really get in depth to your spiritual journey, it's a certain amount of work that you have to have already put in for yourself, meaning the shadow work, you've healed whatever issues. If you got certain type of issues that you've been battling with from a child, you have to heal those issues before going forward, right? Because the one thing that you will experience on this spiritual journey is detachment. And you have to kind of maneuver around detachment, because it could be some people that come in your life and they could be extremely cool, but they you know, spirit like, nope, you can't deal with them. And it's nothing that you are doing, it's what they have going on in their life. And when you answer your spiritual calling to be more spiritually in tune and spiritually awakened, spirit will only allow the people around you that need to be around you when you are in tune with your higher self, right? So when you're praying to say, you know, keep my enemies at bay, keep my enemies away, you know, guide me to my purpose, you're asking for these things, mind you. You know, show me, bring the people in that can guide me, da-da-da. You've seen some signs, and the signs don't necessarily be physical. Sometimes spirit will tell you intuitively, like spirit will show you something about a person, and then you see it, but you choose to continue to deal with them. So then it will manifest into physical form for you to be like, okay, you gotta, you know, you were supposed to been left, you know. So you have to be one with your aura, so you can grasp your messages, right? And so I was telling my yeah, you know, I'm the type of person, I respect everybody's craft. So a person can be good in the spiritual aspect. They can be good at what they do, right? But that doesn't mean that you are good for me, right? Hence a couple of things that I've already said. If you deal with so many people, your energy is warped. You know what I'm saying? When you, especially face-to-face. So I got a thing with dealing with people face-to-face, because I'm merely taking on whatever energy you're putting out. I don't like that. So that's why I do. My energy, right, when doing that, but it's completely different when you're dealing with face-to-face. I take my hat off to the face-to-face practitioners that do what you do. I'm a highly sensitive empath. I don't need it, right? So I was telling my yeah, I'm like, I respect everybody, you know what I'm saying, but that doesn't mean that they're good for me. So when I was introduced to my yaya, you know, it was like a no-brainer. When I was having this, like, man, I need you to meet this person. I need you to meet this person. And I'm like, you know, okay, you know, it's a lady, okay. You know,
hold on, you cutting out.
Mo.
Yeah, I can hear you. You're cutting out, though.
Oh, I don't know what you – okay. So I'm like, you know, women have a certain thing where they want followers around them, and I'm not a follower. And this is what I was explaining. They said, no, don't worry about it. You got to meet this person. And so they introduced me to my yaya, right, my spiritual guide, my spiritual mother, you right? And so they introduced me to my yaya, and, you know, I'm like, okay, so – when I first met her, she was like, who are you? I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. She was like, I had to do so much to prepare me, doing so much. You're special. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm definitely special. But, you know, just because you can see and feel my energy doesn't mean that I'm sold, right? And so, you know, we had a meeting, and then for, like, the first couple of weeks, like, we talked on the phone all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, the bond was magnetic. But I still wasn't, like, fully sold, right? And so the person, somebody had bond. This person was already aware of my divine feminine wrath, right? But people can't, you know, everybody can't access that. It's a certain type of person that can access that. And this person was that person, right, one of those people. And so they did something, and they just kind of, like, really just pushed me to a point, and then, you know, they felt my wrath. And so as I'm giving them the wrath, I literally lay down and go to sleep. And 2 hours later, my yaya get up and she sent me a message. She was like, look, I don't know what's going on, but this came to me in my sleep. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She didn't know the whole situation of what happened. But she did say, a spirit told me that you cannot talk to this person ever again. And she knew that person, too. She said,
hold on, something. I don't know if it's the connection or the phone, but it's kind of going.
Maybe it's
out.
Your. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear. I can hear you, and then it'll just go like silent for like a couple of seconds, and then you'll come back.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on a landline, so I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe.
Oh, could be. All right, but yeah, I mean. You good though.
So at that moment, right, I thought, I'm like, okay, yeah, did you talk to them? She was like, no, I was asleep. And she was like, I'm just telling you what they're telling me. I'm not asking no questions, yada, yada. And she told him the same thing. Or whatever she told him, I have no idea. But that point made me a believer, right, because Spirit knew that I wasn't 100% soul. Like, I was excited about her. But I wasn't 100% soul until Spirit came and redirected my energy. Because, you know, when I step into my Ashe, I can go left. You know what I'm saying? I can get really distracted and go left. And so they didn't want that because this person was a part of my egg bay. You know, we couldn't be beefing with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so it was one of those things that that's what sold me. Now, this person is going to be somebody that's going to push you outside of your comfort zone, because the person that you're going to be comfortable talking to and the person that's going to co-sign your BS is probably not going to be your spiritual guide. Your spiritual guide will not co-sign your BS. Just telling you. They're not going to co-sign your BS. They're going to be on their ish. They're going to be on some other stuff. Like, they just not going to do it. So you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
That's deep.
Your journey, you're going to have these people that come, that you interact with. You got to know when to let these people go. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Spirit is like, okay, you've ascended, right? The only thing you got to focus on is going to the next level. Spirit will put the right people around you in that level, you know, in that next level that you're supposed to be in. Everybody can't go to the next level. And so when we talk about life in itself and life-lifing, right, and we be like, well, you know, I'm growing and I'm outgrowing you, and, you know, this is just, you know, most of the time us popping off and we still give people a chance. To the next level, it's just time. Now, you can choose to not go to the next level and stay stagnant, but I assure you that your life is really going to be a whole mess. You know what I'm saying? Also, be mindful. So, just like there was somebody that I listened to, 95% of the time, I would say 95%, he always talking some good stuff, and this is just about everybody. It's me as well. I'm a spiritual diviner. So I know I done said some things to people that they like, what in the world? In your stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because they're going to be something that you may not agree with. That don't mean you change what it is that you do because somebody believes in something that you don't believe in, because rightfully so. I'm going to tell you, in the temples, when you're dealing with the temples and the chiefdoms and all of these things, when it comes to the spirituality, like, every temple is going to do things different. So you're going to meet people that was trained on different aspects on how to do things. That's just how it works. right, doesn't mean that anybody is wrong. It's just the teachings that you are getting from who you are around, right? People may do. People may call this like a hand of Ephi. I'm going to tell you that. A hand of But you have hand of Ephi, DK-Fa, EK-Fa, Ise-Fa. You know what I'm saying? Depending on where you are is depending on the name. It's going to differ. So don't get caught up in somebody and you be like, okay, I listen to majority of everything that they say and I know it got to be right, and you find yourself questioning yourself, because let's not forget that spirituality is spiritual, right? It's within you, the spirit within you. You know, you have to align with your aura. He's always on point. And then the day he was like, well, if you make a plan, you don't have to pray. I was like, wait, what? Scooby-Doo runners. What, Shaggy? Like, wait, you lost your damn mind. I was like, you done been smoking something or something. And I was like, wait a minute, if you make a plan, you don't have to pray. You always want to pray. You always want to be in tune with the Most High. But I digress. You know what I'm saying? that was something that I didn't agree with. And wholeheartedly, he may believe that. You know what I'm saying? He may feel as though, you know, he don't have to pray because he has a plan. Not to say that I'm finna call him out. Just say, okay, yeah, bro, I'm not listening to that, because that's you done lost your damn mind, right? You gotta be mindful,
I was saying that part didn't align with you.
Right, it didn't align with me, and I knew that it didn't align with me. But I wasn't gonna be like, growing that's coming out of not praying. I don't give a fuck how many plans you got. I don't care how many blueprints, how many architects you talk to. It's not coming. It's not happening. Matter of fact, I'm a person of planning, and I'm going to keep a plan. I'm going to keep a plan A, B, and C. But I can assure you that when I start to pray, those plans move a whole lot better. So it is kind of the opposite, you know, but everybody's different. Maybe he feel like he getting everything that he wanted. He ain't had to pray damn time. You know what I'm saying? Myself, I feel like when I pray, I'm one. I come closer to, you know, spirit. So just be mindful of that. You know, be mindful of who you're listening to. I can't say, like, don't be a bandwagoner because, you know, I mean, I got over 10,000 and something people that listen to me. You know what I'm saying? On a regular basis. And with that being said, you know, at some point, you know, you get bigger and bigger. So, you know, somebody be like, well, they got too many people following them. You know, how, why, when, where. Eventually, I'm going to start doing personal readings. When I get to where I need to be, you know what I'm saying, in a spiritual aspect, because it's all spiritual practice for me, when I get to where I need to be, you won't even be able to access me to do a personal reading, you know, not in the tarot divination anyways. It'll be all, you know, with Ifa, not with the tarot situation, but who knows, you know, they may say, okay, well, you can do tarot 2 days a week, you know, whatever the case may be. But you got to just listen to yourself. You got to be in tune with yourself and trust that the Most High is going to put the right people in your life at the right time for the right reasons. And now, mind you, I was stop being toxic. And you're like, well, I don't want to stop being toxic, so we ain't in line with that. No, that's not the same thing. Like, that's not the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what's right and what's wrong. So, you know, being properly aligned with the right person, you're aligned with the right people for a reason. And this is one thing that I've learned, especially with the YouTube channels, I built one YouTube channel, and things went so fast building that one YouTube channel, right? And when I built that channel, it just was like, yeah. But I didn't build it the right way because I was just like, okay, you know, let's get subscribers, let's do this, let's do that. And so, you know, I told you Spirit made me go in and break that channel down and rebuild it the right way. So, you know, I had to go from the slow things and not paying attention to the numbers to where you get videos that may have 20 views. You get some may have 30 views. You get some may have 40 views. But the bottom line is they're getting views. You know what I'm saying? Whereas you're looking at something where I'm used to getting, you know, 1,000 views and so on and so forth, you're not seeing those numbers, but you have to trust the process, right? And then whereas, you know, I got a whole nother page, which, you know, Spirit had been nudging me to give, you know, one zodiac sign their own page. And when I got around to doing it, that's when Spirit was like, okay, now that you're doing it, now you're going to wait on me to continue to move. You got to listen to Spirit because a lot of times we don't listen to Spirit and we are in our own, you know what I'm saying, in our own place, in our own stuff, you know. Right. A lot of things that I've done where I've linked up with somebody spiritually maybe on one occasion just to get a spiritual task done. And then Spirit was like, okay, that's it. That's all I needed. You know what I'm saying? It's been so many people that have crossed my path for one or two times or, you know what I'm saying, just to get a project done that Spirit needed. Like, Spirit will put the right people in your life for a reason, and you will know, so pay attention to people's vibes. It's not that people are mad. I've talked to spiritual people, and I'm in like, okay, yeah, I want to go with them. But then, you know, Spirit like, no, you can't go with them. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I want to do this, and then Spirit like, no, you can't do this. Or then I make plans to do all of these things with this one person, and Spirit like, no, that's not what we're doing. So, you know, you can't plan, and you can't do this, you can't do that. You just kind of got to go with the flow on your spiritual journey. A lot of people get into, you know, whatever they're doing. Like, I'm a devotee of Ifa. And so with that, you know, most people, they go in and they find a house, they find a spiritual house to go up under. And then that's who they consider their family, and that's where they get all the information from, and so on and so forth. Where there are some people here. I haven't been able to, you know, find a house that I even am remotely comfortable with to sit down with what house. But Spirit has a full team around me. You know what I'm saying? So whereas I have a full team where I don't need to be with one specific house, I have multiple houses that I get certain things from. You know what I'm saying? I pull this from there, pull that from there. And people are like, well, you got to get one because that's the way that they know, but that's not the way that Spirit is sending me. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be in tune with that. Like, some people, they just, you know, it's like the blind leading the blind. Somebody may have a lot of knowledge in Ifa, but their practices and who they are, it doesn't align, right? My spirit guides won't allow me to get up under anybody. You can't just be up into anybody. So the person that stands out in the leading aspect of my journey is my yay, right? My divine feminine energy. So from there, I still have other people, you know, that I deal with in my journey, my destiny. I have babalawos around me. But the one thing about these babalawos is just like, yeah, no. You got a lot of things to go through with men that are spiritual because they still are men. You know what I'm saying? So I prefer to keep myself closer to my yay versus, you know, a male, you know, or something like that, which, and all due respect to the babalawos, but I just prefer to keep myself closer to divine feminine energy than divine masculine energy or a masculine energy. They say it ain't divine masculine. Some say it is. I say it is. So, you just got to move with spirit. You got to move with source. Know that everybody that encounters your energy is for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you walking down the street, Mo, you know how many people you see, how many faces you see on a regular basis, and y'all don't say nothing, and you remember a face and be like, yeah, I remember them. They used to be walking down the street. You know, we never talked to each other, nothing like that. You know, that's just when you see somebody all the time. That could definitely be somebody of your egg bay, right? Somebody face that you remember, but you don't know these people. So it's a reason out of all these people that we see and we cross paths with that we stop and we communicate and we talk and we build some type of connection with certain people, with the people that we do. Everybody that enters our life is for a reason. It's not as hard as we want it to be to try to figure out if it's for a season, if it's for a lifetime. You go with it, and then whatever is supposed to be or whatever is not supposed to be, then it's whatever. You feel me?
I definitely feel you. Yeah, no. You know what I'm saying? So just to kind of touch base on some of the things you say, once again, this is how to find the right spiritual guide. So I'm a firm believer in, like, when you're ready, they'll appear. You know what I'm saying? If you're ready to spirituality, you know what I'm saying, then the person is going to teach you or show you some things or guide you on the right path, it's going to appear. Or that book, maybe, that's got the knowledge, is going to make you, like, you know, think a different way, you know what I'm saying? You'll pick it up. Because that's what happened to me. You know, we've talked about this on many occasions, but I remember years ago, like 20 years ago, I'm walking down Harlem, 125th Street, and this book just grabbed me, you know what I'm saying? And it changed my life. And once again, it's Egyptian Yoga, The Philosophy of Enlightenment by Muwatta Asti. But once I do that, once I read that, it just opened my mind up, because it was things that were just preparing me for this, and I just didn't understand it. And that book brought a level of understanding. So, you know, I definitely, you know, just, you know, feel that way. And then also, too, for me, and then everybody's different, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody experienced spiritual awakenings differently, you know what I'm saying? I know what gets me closer to spirituality is when a loved one, a close loved one of mine passes. It makes me definitely just rethink things, and then it just allows me to evolve. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm able to just kind of, like, make peace with, you know, everything that person showed me and, you know, memories that we shared. But then I'm able to make peace and know that, like, now I'm at a different level. You know what I'm saying? Like a video game. Like, it's a video game. And that person that was with me on that journey is no longer here, so now everything adjusts, and now, you know, maybe I'll meet some other people that's going to, like, you know, play a different role in my life. So, you know, so that's that, you know what I'm saying? So, and then I think affirmative prayer, that's something that I've been gradually understanding more. But affirmative prayer to me is just affirmations that allow you to just manifest things that you want. So, you know, all that just connects to spirituality, you know what I'm saying? So, but I think everybody's journey is different, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's the best way I can put it as far as that.
Right. Well, I mean, good stuff. Like, you know, it's just the same, you know, good analogy, which is like the same thing, you know, because it's so different and because everybody's calling it so different. The one thing that I can tell you is to trust. Trust source, trust your spirit guides, trust your ego and goon. Like, and I can only, like, give y'all examples of my life, right? But just use it as a hypothetical, you know what I'm saying, aspect, right? Spirit will tell me, Spirit will give me a message, right? And then when Spirit gives me this message, sometimes it may not be direct, right? I seen this meme online, and I had to repost it. It says, you know, once I was like, your spirit guides, you know, ready, you know, your spirit guides, well, mad at you because you can't understand the messages, right? And they got a picture of somebody ready to fight. But then on the other side is me, is me ready to fight my spirit guides for sending me these unclear messages, right? It's like this charades, right? This thing. Sometimes you will get messages that are not 100% clear. And it's almost like charades, trying to figure this out. So I was having a conversation, and I didn't know where the conversation was going. So all I know is, okay, all I know is this was around the time, okay, for my Ifa, right, for my hand of Ifa. And so I had got a hand of Ifa, and then the person kept one of my Ikin from my Ikefa. And then he didn't send me my warriors. So you might not know what honor that is, but don't worry about it. Follow the story. So then when he went to do the final prayer, he was talking crazy in the prayer. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, what? Like, my spirit guides would not let me get into that prayer. I interrupted the prayer and everything. Like, no, you is bugging right now. Like, you trying to tie me to you. And, like, you trying to tie me to you while I'm right here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hear you, bro. I'm not stupid. So we get into this thing, and so I put it to the side. And Spirit was showing me something with it. So I'm thinking, Spirit telling me to get a whole new one. And in the conversation, as I start talking, and I'm like, you know, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, yeah, I think that I'm going to just get a, I didn't say I think, I said I am going to just get a whole new one because that's what Spirit is aligning me to do. And then Spirit showed me immediately, no, this is not what we need you to do. Spirit allowed me to bring the conversation up to the person that I needed to bring it up to, for them to say, okay, well, no, you don't need a new one. You just need X, Y, and Z done, and then blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And then that's what solved my problem with that. You know what I'm saying? Boom, everything got situated. So you got to, sometimes you got to play, you know, you got to play charades. They may show you something, and you may think that they, you know, when they showed me what they showed me, I thought that they were saying get a whole new Isefa, but that's not what they were showing me. They were showing me, you know, this situation. So when I brought the conversation up, I was to be enlightened, and then I can find, you know what I'm saying, I was able to find a different way to go about what I was doing, and it was like right there, you know what I'm saying. So it was for me to bring that conversation up to the person I brought it up to, because that was the person that was supposed to correct the issue altogether with that thing. So yeah, like, you got to just pay attention to the messages. And some of the messages aren't going to be crisp and clear, but you just got to grab the pieces that you have and then find it. So I don't, you know, the old me used to be like, nah, Spirit told me to get a new one. You know, I can go, but yeah, you got to let that part of being so sure of yourself go. So when you get these messages, you got to know that you're getting going through to find the answers, not to go through because you have the answers. But spirituality is about finding answers, and it's a big difference. So even me being a spiritual diviner, you know, something comes to me, and I can be like, okay, well, it came to me, so I have the answer. No, it may not be what I think it is, because this shit is really charades. Maybe I need to, I'm going to take what I have and put it out there and find the answer, find the truth, find what it is. Not that I second-guess myself like that, but sometimes my spirit guides, they be drunk or something up there, and sometimes they don't send me the message real clear, and I get it, you know what I'm saying? But what it is a part of my destiny where they wanted me to have patience, and they wanted me to be open. So this is the way that they taught me how to have patience and how to be open. You know what I'm saying? Is to send me to find answers versus giving me the answers as they once were. So everything that we go through on our journey is a part of something that we are meant to experience. It's a test. It's for us to ascend. It's for us to grow, right? And any spiritual worker, spiritual practitioner, anything like that, that get to a point and say, well, hell, I got it all and I know it all, and I don't have to do no research and I don't have to do all that no more, you know, run. like that,
yeah,
run.
Evolving. And that was gonna lead me to this question that I have for you, Black. You know, because like I said, as a spiritual being, like you just mentioned, you're like you're forever evolving. But do you remember that point where you opened up to spirituality? It was like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, if this is something here, and I'm gonna explore this. Do you remember like the moment where you kind of like realized like I'm going in this direction, and it's gonna be beneficial to me because this is, you know, I'm in my light, so to speak. Do you remember that or no?
So there's a couple of pivot points in my life. One, when I was about in the seventh grade, to know that things would happen when they would happen. I didn't really know how to use it, but I had that gift, and then I also had the gift to be able to see people that cross over. I told a story about how I prayed and said, I want to keep the gift to be able to see what's going to happen, but take the vision of the people away from me. That, you know, people said I'm crazy, right? So that was one pivotal point. But I was still going to church, still growing up in the church. And then, like, when I got, like, 18 or whatever, a little bit after 18, because I had started scripting. But after... about paying tithes, because in the spiritual walk, you still gonna spend a lot of money. Okay, you are, in all honesty, when you on a spiritual walk, especially if you are following Ifa, you will spend more money on your spiritual journey with Ifa than you will in church paying tithes. So I'm not talking about like I'm not shunning that. You know, there's no way to shun paying, you know, a certain percentage, you know, of your income to, you know, make it come back in, because you pay a hitting me in church. And he would say things, and I would be like, what is he talking about? So I used to feel like, okay, maybe I missed some church, and I don't know when things change, but coming from somebody that grew up in church, how they just start changing the names, and you know what I'm saying? Like, how you just going to change this? And then everybody, yeah, and Jehovah, and Jah, and, you know, Yahweh. Like, man, I ain't never heard Yahweh growing up. It's always been Jesus. So what y'all talking about? God, Jesus, Lord, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I've heard. Right before I got pregnant with my youngest son, I was going to church. It was a mega church. And we were going to mega church, and then I'm like, okay, they built the gym. So they took a bunch of, you know, they asked for a bunch of donations to build a gym. And then when they built the gym, they charged the church members a membership. And I know that was a breaking point for me. This was like in 2000. And...
Damn. Wow.
Money to go in there. So I was like, man, that's crazy, that's whack. Remember that conversation? And so I had went to church one time, and then something had happened with my clothes, and I was so embarrassed, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not going back. But I guess I said, that spirit telling me, like, you know that you're not fitting into this church. You know you're not fitting into what they're saying. But I could understand what they're saying. And so that's why, like, certain times, like, pastors can give a word and I can relate to their word. I'm not the type of spiritualist that's like, I don't want to hear what nobody else got to say other than a Babalawo or a chief or Yanifa. You know, so if a pastor is talking that talk and I can relate to it and it relates to my soul, I'm going to take it in. If I'm listening to Minister Farrakhan and he talking that talk and it's something that I can relate to, I'm going to take it in. If I'm listening to a Babalawo or Yanifa and they talking that talk and it's something I can take, I'm taking it in, right? Because you got to know when what to take and what to leave.
Sermon. Yep.
When I was having a conversation with somebody and he was telling me about Ifa, and this 2017, and then I was like, well, you ain't going to help me then, forget it. And then I just dropped it, and then a couple weeks later, I picked it up and ain't never let it go. So I knew something. It wasn't the church. I knew it wasn't the church. I didn't know what it was. And when I got to that point where I was like, okay, it's not the church. I don't know what it is, you know. And I think I remember having an epiphany, and I'm like, man, Spirit, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I feel like it's something. I'm not going to church, but I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something. You know what I'm saying? Like, Spirit, guide me to what I'm supposed to be doing, because I do feel like I'm missing out on something. And then that's when EFI came in. So, you know, EFI is a part of my journey. EFI yesterday, EFI today, EFI tomorrow, EFI forever. So, you know, a part of that's about then. But 2017, I picked it up and never put it back.
That's what's up. You know, another thing, too, and then I'm going to get into the world-famous chop-off. You know what I'm saying? I love these spiritual conversations that we have. Big shout-out to Black. You know, this is real adult talk with SGMO Benz. You know what I'm saying? We do this every Sunday from 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. You know, Black always has a spiritual show at the beginning of the month, and this is one of those situations. So I remember one time, too, you know, I've always – been a person that reads a lot and listens to a lot of music. You know what I'm saying? That's where I get a lot of my downloads from it, you know, because my imagination can kind of just wander. You know what I'm saying? But I remember, like I told you, the Egyptian yoga book was one turning point for me. But I remember it was this one particular album. This was way back in the day when I was young. I used to listen to like a lot of Wu-Tang Clan, because I like the way they, you know, they was always different. You know what I'm saying? As far as like knowledge and stuff, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But anyway, One of the offbeat members, he's not in Wu-Tang, but his name is Killer Priest. And just the name alone, Killer Priest, was always just interesting to me. He had this one song called Bible, which was an acronym for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And he had an album, it was called Heavy Mental. And I remember it came out, and it was just different. You know what I'm saying? Like, to this day, I only like to listen to it like when it's really cold outside. It was really like an icy cold, because it just really... I don't know, it really just resonates with me. Because certain music, I can just feel it in different seasons. But anyway, I never forget the person, I saw him on an interview, it was probably like Rap City or MTV Raps or something way back in the day. But the interview was asking him, like, you know, your album is different. You know what I'm saying? It's not like what you're hearing on the radio and things of that nature. And he says, the interview was like, I think it's very religious. And this is the first time I really heard somebody kind of put it this way. He was like, no, it's not religious, it's spiritual. And then that kind of hit me too. I was like, okay, because that's, you know, it was his own zone. It was like you could tell it was his own, it was coming from just a different source that wasn't religious. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so that's what kind of a lot of just made me like kind of like put spirituality all together and kind of piece it together for my knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of share that story. But anyway, once again, shout out to Black, you know, awesome topic as usual. And now, without further ado, we're going to get into my favorite part of the show. This is the world famous chop up. So for anybody that's new to the show, you know, this is the part of the show where I get a chance to just talk my shit on different things that I thought was interesting. So before I, you know, zone out and get into the world famous chop up, as I always do, Black, was there anything this week that you was tripping on that you was like, you know what, I'm going to bring it to the world
famous chop up? I want to say one story that just kind of threw me left. The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Cynthia Bailey. Cynthia Bailey is the model, you know, the model chick. She came on the show, she married Peter Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody said he was just after the money. I really liked her and Peter together. But she left Peter. And then she married Mike Hill. And Mike Hill, just honestly, it was just so many cheating rumors because Mike Hill seen, right? There's a couple of situations where, you know, allegedly he was, you know, partaking in, you know, inappropriate behavior, you know, rather too close or whatever the case may be. But when Cynthia Bailey first filed her divorce, you know, her and Mike Hill, they separated, and she first filed her divorce. The story is she put that he cheated. And then a couple months down the line, well, they just finalized their divorce December 1st. They changed it. So she had her attorney come out and say, well, that was an error on our part, and the reason for the divorce is irreconcilable differences. So basically, you trying to tell me that she accidentally put that he cheated and he didn't cheat? No. Then he cheated, but then they became cool, and there was some type of negotiation that was done on the back end for her to get something or for him to get something. It was for them to change that to irreconcilable differences so that his character would not be flawed and he wouldn't be known as a cheater. You know what I'm saying? But that was like the funny story for me. Like, how you going to say he cheated and then change the court documents to say irreconcilable differences? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. Funny.
I don't know what you get from that. I think they want a divorce, but they still want to kind of remain, I mean, it's hard
be
to
be amicable.
But they, you know what I'm saying? I guess they still want to be cordial,
yeah,
and not mess up each other's businesses or career. I think that's maybe.
Yeah, be amicable. You know, no beef, no hard feelings. And, you know, Cynthia, she's definitely feminine. You know what I'm saying? To the core. She's the I don't want no problems, I don't want no drama type, you know, situation.
Yeah.
But now she's spotted hanging out with her first husband. Well, not, I don't know if that's her first husband or not. But now she started back hanging out with Peter Thomas. You know what I'm saying? And you know Peter, he still got the bar. He's still doing what he's doing, but Peter was waiting on his chance. I wouldn't be surprised if Peter went and got some stuff done to get break that marriage up. But I want to wait and see. She's talking about Peter and I are not together. We are just friends. And I want to see how that works. I think Peter Thomas trying to get the old thing back.
Or he's trying to angle to get back on the show now, too, maybe. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? You know what I'm saying?
He need the money.
Yeah. Or they could both be like, all right, we took some time off. You know what I'm saying? So that could be it. You know what? Speaking of Real Housewives of Atlanta, I'm petitioning. You know what I'm saying? Like, just on this show, me and my wife, you know, of course, one of our guilty pleasures. We like to watch Love and Hip Hop and Black Ink Crew. You know, that's kind of how we vibe. But shout out to, and I got to finish Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, but shout out to Young Jock. And I can't think of his wife's name that he married. But I like them, man. I like them as a couple, man. You know, on this season of Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta, there's a lot of people all in their business trying to break them up because, you know, and granted, Young Jock hasn't been the smartest when it comes to, like, his infidelities and the way he should handle it, in my opinion. But, you know, they working through it. But I'm petitioning for them because I think, you know, after maybe next year, they probably should be done with Love and Hip Hop, and I would love to see them transition over to Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Because I think they kind of like, you know what I'm saying? I think their story could be better told in there. You know, she's a lawyer down there in Atlanta. You know, he's not doing rap no more or whatever, but he's a reality guy, you know what I'm saying?
Of course he's not.
I think that would be a next phase in that franchise. But I always kind of think about that when I see them on TV. But a couple things, you know what I'm saying, as I'm going to get into. So speaking of, and we'll have Smooth on the check-in tonight. You know, hopefully he'll be back in next week. And Mr. Probably finished. But, you know, Smooth, he gives me a lot of his news, you know what I'm saying, because he still watches news the old school way, which I totally respect. But anyway, I wanted to ask him about this whole Georgia runoff situation, because I think this is the week, if I'm not mistaken, you know what I'm saying. But Herschel Walker, and I don't even know his opponent's first name, but I know his last name is Warnock, but they're both, you know, fighting for, the last Senate? For, you know, Senator of Georgia, something like that, you know, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's a pivotal seat in Georgia. And, you know, very close. But I saw Obama was campaigning for Warnock. So that's the thing. And we had talked about this on the tail end of last
Obama
week.
Was not campaign. Oh, yeah, he was. Okay, yep. He's a Democrat, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, man, I guess that's just his lifestyle for you know what I'm saying? I'm like, is this what the new version of Obama is going to be? you know, where he just gets on the campaign trail for all these Democrats is on, like, the cusp of winning to just push them through. I'm just like, wow, you know, I don't know. You know,
yeah,
so I just
stuck up.
Yeah, that part is just disappointing. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, like, you've been there. Like, why are you letting them use you now? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, I don't know. So, you know, big shout out. I hope Herschel Walker wins. You know what I'm saying? Just to shake things up. I would like to
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just because everybody wants this Warnock dude and all the left wing, you know what I'm saying? People's all just hating on Herschel Walker. Hey, I want to see what Herschel Walker, you know, can bring to the table. So I'm keeping my eye on that. Let me see another story. Now, this story, I'm going to probably get a little bit more in depth on this week's episode of Reasonable Doubt. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to that. That's every Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 8:30 Eastern Time. Me and Kev Herc on the Mo Benz Twitter page. But I'm going to say this. Yay is Shakespeare. You know what I'm saying? Another thing I just want to quick album review. I'm going to kind of elaborate a little bit more, but I really love the title of this album. So big shout out to Metro Boomin. You know, he's a producer out of ATL. You know, he's like a big-time producer for 21 Savage and Future. You know, does work with Travis Scott. You know, he's in that whole zone. You know what I'm saying? Lil Baby, Gunna, you know what I'm saying? But he just dropped the album this last, Friday night or, you know, at 12 p.m. You know, I mean, not 12 p.m., 12 a.m. Like, you know, that's when the new albums drop on Friday, 12 a.m., you know what I'm saying, midnight. But anyway, Metro Boomin, he has an album called Heroes and Villains. And I just think that's such an interesting, like, just kind of name of an album, because I think that's where we're at right now. You know, heroes and villains. I think Jay-Z had one line, you know, like, you know, if you're a hero, you know, are you going to live long enough before they call you a villain? Or, you know, are you going to be a villain long enough for them to call you a hero and vice versa? So I guess the point I'm getting at, it gets jaded, this whole hero and villain, because I can be a hero to you, but I could be a villain to somebody else. So it's all about perspective. And I think kind of Ye kind of put that in perspective. Now, it was controversial. I'm not going to say it's not. But I'm just really trying to figure out a way to really articulate it, you know, from now to Tuesday to kind of formulate that kind of whole topic on that. But Ye is definitely Shakespeare. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to leave it at that. Another thing that I saw that was pretty interesting was Will Smith. Will Smith has a new movie coming out. And I don't know how I feel about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Now, last time we heard of Will Smith, you know what I'm saying? It was after, what was it, the Oscars? You know what I'm saying? The whole Chris Rock, Will Smith. And look, I at the time when that happened, you know, I didn't fault Will Smith, you know, for doing what he did. I guess he just got tired of hearing it. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of like offbeat or, you know, off script, because, you know, that's not usually his brand. But hey, you know what I'm saying, I guess that happens, that he just got pushed to the to his breaking point at that particular moment. So we hadn't heard anything from Will Smith since that. He's been very quiet. You know, Will Smith is one of the biggest, you know, movie stars 30 years, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's definitely been a Hollywood, you know, icon, so to speak, as far as movie industry. And I never, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know what I'm saying? I hate to go on, like, things that I just kind of heard that I didn't read firsthand. But I'm almost sure this was a story for a minute. But if I'm not mistaken, one of my favorite movies, which is Django, you know what I'm saying? That's the Quentin Tarantino movie starring Jamie Foxx. You know, just a star-studded cast, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, Leonardo DiCaprio, definitely one of my favorite movies of that genre, and definitely one of my favorite movies from Quentin Tarantino, you know what I'm saying? But I think that Jamie Foxx was not the first person that Quentin Tarantino, who's the director of the movie, went to for that role, you know what I'm saying? So I believe he contacted Will Smith first. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Google it. I don't know. I'm kind of just going on what I kind of heard. I don't like to do this. I'm kind of freestyling a little bit. So, you know, bear with me. But anyway, I think I remember hearing Will Smith was like, nah, I didn't take that role because I didn't want to portray myself as a slave. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see myself that way. I didn't want to portray myself that way. So that's why I didn't take the role. So I don't know if he was saying this like, now, you know, hindsight is 2020, you know, Django was an excellent movie, got nominated for awards when it came out, you know, definitely critically acclaimed. You know, everybody respects Jamie Foxx, the way he did it, even Samuel L. Jackson, even though you hated his character, you know what I'm saying, you respected his acting. Leonardo DiCaprio as the slave owner, you know what I'm saying? Like, you saw he got all into the role. It was just very interesting character study. So now this brings me to Will Smith. So I got Apple TV like last week, you know what I'm saying? I think they got like some three-week free trial. So my wife downloaded it. Big shout out to Severance. That's a show that I'm feeling on Apple TV. That's up for a lot of different awards. Didn't know how I felt about it at first, but after I watched the first few episodes, it's pretty good. I kind of talked about this a little bit last week. But anyway, I do see there's a new Will Smith movie that's being advertised. I think it's going to come out probably around Christmas time, called Emancipation, and it's like a slave movie, but starring Will Smith. So it just, I'm like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm just putting two and two together. I'm like, I don't know. It just seems a little fishy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, because before, you know, the Django wasn't trying to do it because, I don't want to be portraying that life. Then, you know, the situation happens at the Oscars. And, you know, big shout out to him for winning the Oscar, by the way, because his portrayal of Richard Williams, that was his best performance I've seen since Pursuit of Happiness from Will Smith. But this Emancipation, man, it's like a slave movie. It just, I don't know, man. It's just like, it just seems like weird timing. Like, this is his comeback movie, and, you know, it happens to be a slave movie. So, I don't know. You know, only time will tell. They're promoting it on Apple TV. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Let me see here. So, what else we got in the news? Big shout out to Deion Sanders, Primetime. You know what I'm saying? Definitely one of my favorite football players of all time. Definitely one of my favorite defensive players, him and Lawrence Taylor. You know, Lawrence Taylor was a, you know, defensive end, and Deion Sanders, defensive back. You know, defensive backs, for the people out there that don't follow sports like I do, they're the ones that stop the wide receivers. So Deion Sanders was the greatest defensive back. So, you know, all the great receivers that you've heard over the years, like Jerry Rice and Michael Irvin, Terrell Owens, and the list goes on. Chad Ochocinco and, Odell Beckham. Those are wide receivers. So, you know, when watching the game of football, person is checking them, you know, that's going to keep them from getting the ball is a defensive back, which is what Deion Sanders did. And he played that position so well that it was like almost watching a wide receiver because he would get the interceptions and run it back, and, you know, he was showboat, and then he was a very great punt returner, kick returner, and, you know, before Michael Vick, you know, Deion Sanders was definitely the Atlanta Falcon experience. You know what I'm saying? Of course, that's back in the day when he put Atlanta on the map as far as sports, because he was playing football and baseball all in the same season, in the same city. You know what I'm saying? I remember one time watching him, and he played a football game and a baseball game, both in Atlanta, in the same day. It was amazing. You know what I'm saying? So he played for Braves, and he played for the Falcons. So anyway, long story short, you know, congratulations. He was the head football coach at Jackson State. You know, that was his first head coaching job. Did his thing there. You know, Jackson State, I believe, is a black college. You know what I'm saying? So, cut his teeth there. You know, did his thing, and now he's gonna be going to like a program that was a major program, kind of fell on some hard times. So, of course, you know, the administrators there, they're always looking for the next talent, and, you know, who's going to bring in the recruits. So Deion Sanders will be taking over for the University of Colorado. bringing him back. Hopefully he can bring him back to prominence, man, because I remember, you know, as a teenager or whatever, Colorado, you know, young, just a youth, man, Colorado was like one of the major college teams, you know what I'm saying? But then they, you know, they just fell off. You know, other teams kind of came up, other colleges and states, you know, kind of came up and superseded them. I remember Eric Bieniemy, who's actually the offensive coordinator, black offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, he's right under Andy Reid, but he, like, you know, does the plays for Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. You know, he's kind of the architect of that whole thing they got going on as far as the offense. But I remember Eric Bieniemy back in the day, back in the early 90s, before he was a coach, you know, he was a really good college running back. So, you know, I'm just eager to see Deion Sanders, you know, get to his next level in his coaching career, you know what I'm saying, and see what he's going to do with Colorado, man. So shout out to him. What else we got? So another interesting thing, too, real quick, big shout out to Keke Palmer, man. I always thought she was sexy, man. You know what I'm saying? She did her thing in Nope. You know what I'm saying? That was the Jordan Peele movie that got a lot of critically acclaimed. I talked about this in a world-famous chop-up when I saw it in Cleveland with my wife. Didn't know how I felt about it at first, but it was one of those movies that it kind of grew on me. You know what I'm saying? The more and more I wouldn't mind seeing it again because it was a movie that I liked talking about, but I didn't know how I felt about actually seeing it. When I first saw it, I thought it was like, trash. I was like, what is this? This is some bullshit. Me and my wife were like, what the fuck? Like, did we waste our time, our money? But then we were just fascinated by talking about it. So I think that's what Jordan Peele was really trying to accomplish, and he did it. You know what I'm saying? Definitely a critically acclaimed movie. The more and more I talk about it, the more and more that I'm like, damn, I guess I did kind of like it. And now I can't wait to see it again, you know, when I get, I don't know, when it comes on TV or something like that and I got some free time. But anyway, big shout out to Keke Palmer. Because I always just thought, you know, she's got an it factor, you know what I'm saying? But she never was in that right role for me that I really was a fan of until Nope. But, you know, big shout out to her. She, for the first time, hosted a Saturday Night Live last night. She did an excellent job, you know what I'm saying? Like, definitely you can see her talent. You know, big shout out to her. I liked her little monologue that she did. And, you know, she revealed that she's pregnant. So she's got that just like, you know, nice pregnant, you know, glow about her. So that was pretty dope. The skits was funny, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I watched it last night. Yeah, just hilarious. One of the funnier skits was a Drake skit, and it was the United Kings of Aubrey. You know, just talking about how his lyrics and so many females can, like, I don't know, was trying to, I don't know, get like a lawsuit against Drake because they felt like he was referencing them in the song or whatever. But I don't know, you had to see it. But it was funny the way they did it. I mean, of course it's not true, but the way they did it was pretty funny. And then the musical guest was SZA. She's another one, man. Big shout out to SZA, man. I'm a big big fan of her, man. So she, you know, I hadn't heard nothing from her in a minute, but she was the musical guest. So it was just a star set. I love to just see black females, man, just doing their thing, man. Black females is my favorite creation on earth, man. Black females and lions. You know what I'm saying? Like, God hit it out the park. You know what I'm saying? Whatever this higher being that created this this world with these different entities that we live in, man, when he created the black woman and the lion, oh, my goodness. But, yeah, so that was that, man. So, you know, that was pretty good. Let me see here what else we had. So we had, I didn't get a chance to talk about this, but big shout out to ATL. Atlanta, the TV show, that came to an end. So the finale, the finale was actually about a month ago, but I know I've been writing this down to talk about it on the chop up. I really dig the way Donald Glover did it, man. You know, a lot of people thought it was like a weird series or whatever, but I got into it. It did go off the rails a lot of times, but he stuck to the landing, meaning that the way it ended, it just ended like, as like it was a dream, you know what I'm saying? And it makes sense. It was like just a long ass dream. But big shout out to you know, ATL. I love psychological comedies. I love psychological thrillers. You know what I'm saying? Especially when it's black folks. I think, you know, as far as the psychological comedies, I thought Atlanta did it best. You know, I love in the last episode, you know, they shouted out like kind of like Popeye and like the whole culture that comes along with that came along with Popeye's and that whole chicken sandwich. And speaking of, they supposedly got a new chicken sandwich going to drop. I don't know, like next week or whatever, some blackened chicken sandwich. So I don't know, but anyway, but the way Donald Glover portrayed that in ATL, the finale was very, I don't know, it was just very artistically done, man. So you know, if you saw the episode, you know what I mean, or whatever. So big shout out to that. Let me see here, what else we got news. Lastly, quick sports. We only got about 5 minutes left. Football, and I'm going to get into this a little bit too on Reasonable Doubt, this whole heroes and villains vibe. But basically, Deshaun Watson, you know what I'm saying? He played his first game back for my Cleveland Browns. They went to Houston, which is where his former team is, you know, Houston Texans. But, you know, Houston Texans is 1-9. So we got that first win with Deshaun Watson. Now, we were struggling, you know what I'm saying? So we needed to get him back. You know, a little controversy. You know, you had some people in the stands that had some things to say. But, dude, man, I mean, for the people out there, he served his time. You know, it's been like, what, almost 2 years since he's played a game. Like, come on, like, you got to let it go. You know, everybody makes mistakes or whatever. So this cancel culture be just going a little too far. But he got that win. So I'm eager to see, you know, what my Browns is going to be all about. But speaking of other quarterbacks, so that's on the up and up. I think we're going to be trending upward. We play Cincinnati next week. I believe we're 5-7. You know, Cincinnati and Baltimore, they're leading our division, the AFC North. So we're going to try to make some noise. If we can beat Cincinnati next week, that'll be a big game. That's game of the week next week. You know, Cincinnati just had a big win. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So we can go into Cincinnati. I don't know if it's in Cleveland or Cincinnati, but it's another Battle of Ohio type of game. And if we can beat Deshaun Watson, I mean, if Deshaun Watson can beat the Bengals, you know, shout out to Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, that'd be big for the C-Town. So I'm rooting for that. But the other thing on the other spectrum is Russell Wilson. What happened to Russell Wilson this year, man? Like, I don't know. He got the bag. He definitely got the bag. But, man, it's been disappointing. I really thought, you know, all right, we're going to see Russell Wilson and Sierra do their thing in Denver and, you know, be that power couple. But, you know, it hasn't been roses, you know what I'm saying, for Russell Wilson. You know, he's really struggling this year. I don't know what happened, man. It seemed like ever since last year, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, for my football fans out there, there's on Monday Night Football, there's a segment called Peyton Manning, you know, two quarterbacks of the league, you know, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Eli Manning with the New York Giants, Peyton Manning with the Indianapolis Colts and Denver Broncos. But anyway, they do a commentary on Monday Night Football games, you know, like, you know, a few of the games throughout the year. They started it last year. But ever since Russell Wilson appeared on there, he hasn't been the same. I don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? At that point, he had all the respect in the world, was trending towards a Hall of Fame career. And then he got hurt shortly after, you know, his appearance on there. You know, Seattle underachieved. And then, you know, he wanted out, so he got traded in the off-season. Broncos, it was just a piece away, and you know, and Russell Wilson be able to provide that spark. But they've only won 3 games this year. They're like 3-9, and that's just not becoming of a quarterback of Russell Wilson's caliber. So you know, people start to kind of question, you know, was it Russell Wilson or was it the Legion of Boom? The Legion of Boom was the defense. You know, shout out to Richard Sherman. Everybody know beast mode. You know what I'm saying? A running back. You know what I'm saying? Was it more of them than Russell Wilson? You know, was it more Pete Carroll to coaching, or you know, was Russell Wilson a product of just good coaching? I think he's gonna come back. I think he's got some more in the tank, but you know, he's got to get. I don't know. It's so-